This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Well, there is a lot to unpack as a lot happened very late last week in the Delphi murder case, and the case against accused Richard Allen as being the Delphi murderer. And we're going to go through all of that here on this segment today. In case you're not up to speed on this all kind of happened Thursday and Friday of this last week. And there's really two big things here. There was the Indiana Supreme Court making their ruling on what they believe is correct for going forward on the three motions that were raised by Richard Allen and his attorneys, the motion to reinstate Baldwin and Rossi. The motion to have that trial within 70 days, and number three, to remove Judge Gull as the judge on the case. Then, on top of that, which happened to happen at the exact same time while the arguments were going on, prosecutors in the case published or requested to basically bring more charges against Richard Allen. Yeah.
Because, like you do, I mean, it sounds like the right time to do that.
With no evidence whatsoever, but we'll talk about why that's important and why it's shady, and it just does more to point towards there's some sort of conspiracy going on here. Because
yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
None of it makes any sense at all. Let's start with the Indiana Supreme Court ruling. This is one that you may already know about, but there was those three different motions there that were up for grabs. And the Supreme Court of Indiana agreed with Richard Allen and his attorney that, yes, Andrew Baldwin and Brad Rossi, his court-appointed counsel, can go back and represent him. So Baldwin and Rossi are back on the case. Number two, the speedy trial, which he has a right to, which he's being denied right now, basically because of Judge Gull, that they disagreed with. They said, no, we're not going to do this 70 days from now. You're still up for October. Now, that could change. It may have even changed by the time you're hearing this, to be completely honest, because I'm guessing Baldwin and Rossi are in there filing something of that nature today on Friday for the speedy trial, because they said they were ready to go. Now, the state's not ready to go. We know that. We know Judge Gull isn't ready to go. And it would suck for them if they got this thing off the ground. And they have already been kind of betting that it's going to take till October. But who knows what could happen. But I'm going to guess they're going to try and push this thing back up because, well, Richard Allen has a right to have it move back up. Constitutionally, he does. So that's been denied by the Supreme Court. That could change. And then number three, Judge Gull being removed from the case and a new special judge appointed, also denied. Again, this is another one that I think could change. And I think the Supreme Court knew that with these last two rulings, and there was a reason they denied them. Not necessarily because they thought that they were wrong in making these requests, but because they don't want to be the ones that make it happen. There's other mechanisms already in place, it seems, for these things to actually happen without it being the Indiana Supreme Court saying, you have to do this. That being Judge Gull being removed from the case, they said, no, she doesn't have to be removed. But you do remember just the other week, she was appointed to a higher position, which will require more time and more work and would essentially give her an out. If she wanted it, she could say, oh, guys, this is just too much for me. Gosh darn it. I think that this should be a fair trial, wink, wink, and then they'll get somebody else in there, which could very well happen. I would not be surprised if those last two things happen by their own fruition than by an order of the court.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Why do you think that this guy, Richard Allen, is just a very unlucky individual? Let's put out of our minds mm-hmm. that he may or may not have done this crime.
Yeah.
I feel like he is their scapegoat for something.
That's
exactly it.
Yeah.
Why? Why would there be somebody that they need to do this to?
Because there was shoddy police work that happened, and they don't want to, this is my opinion, because they don't want to own up to it. because it may make some heads roll. It may make some people lose their jobs. It may make some people really get a bad reputation and never get hired back onto a police force ever again. Although, I mean, look at that world, though, too. I mean, it's like the Catholic Church sometimes. Like, oh, you get fired from here for misconduct? Guess what? Some other place, they need police. And if they're that desperate, they'll hire anybody who may have some experience with it. So I don't know. I mean, I think this all goes back to Delphi trying to cover up misdeeds within Delphi, whether they were on purpose or not. They don't want to be exposed for being incompetent, and they're willing to let this guy rot.
But what happened to, wow, I made a mistake, I need to correct this. Accountability, saying, you know what? We made some mistakes here. We need to fix this because there is a man's life literally in the balance here. This guy is deteriorating in a prison, in a huge lockdown prison where he doesn't quite belong just yet.
When's the last time you've seen a police department take responsibility for the inactions or the misdeeds of a rogue, shitty officer? Or, I mean, it usually is kind of swept under the rug. And if it ever gets caught, it's like, well, we're not really going to admit anything, but we're going to get rid of this person, but we're still not going to say we did anything wrong. It doesn't happen. And that's why there's so much mistrust. It's like, yeah, I completely agree. Everybody fucks up. I mean, including police, including this and that. And I'm not anti-police here. I'm just saying they fucked up on this. And they were about to get to that Franks hearing where they were going to really dig into Tony Liggett and see exactly what went on and what the evidence was for arresting Richard Allen and charging him with that crime. And likely it would have kind of pointed out there wasn't a whole lot and that maybe they jumped the gun on this, but they dug themselves in so deep on Richard Allen being their man that they don't want to dig out.
They're doubling down. I mean, the real killer might be out there.
Whatever's going on, quad. they've doubled down 50 times now.
I'm somebody who I have faith in the police, and it's because I've worked with some.
In emergency
services, and I worked with a lot of the canine officers when I was in the veterinary field. No. So I've seen absolutely some of the most amazing human beings in law enforcement. So when I hear this, I'm just like, how is this happening? But our next story that we're going to do is about Uvalde. That's a whole other discussion about what the fuck was going on. So yeah, I guess I feel like you're pulling the curtain back on reality and I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not everybody by any means. I've worked with many wonderful law enforcement people as well. But there's shitty ones too. And that's the thing. Like I said, there's shitty things in everything. And if everyone calls out the shit that's in their group or their, whatever business it is or whatever organization it is, you better yourself by getting rid of the shit, not like hiding it and pretending it doesn't exist. I mean, that's. Right. It's so silly. Anyway, that is where that is sitting right now. But there is more, to it as well, as it continues on, the next development that took place, Richard Allen facing new charges, Carroll County Prosecutor's Office led by Nicholas McLeland expanded to the charges against Allen, adding two counts each of murder and kidnapping in the deaths of Libby German and Abby Williams. Originally in October 2022, Allen was charged with the murder while committing a felony. However, the specific felony in kidnapping of the two girls, which was implied in the initial murder charges, was formally added only now. The additional murder charges, as defined under Indiana law, accuse Allen of knowingly or intentionally causing the death of another person. The legal intricacies of these charges are noteworthy, and here's why. The initial charge of murder and the commission of a felony suggests that Allen kidnapped 14-year-old Libby and then 13-year-old Abby, leading them away from the trails near the Monon High Bridge in Delphi. During this alleged kidnapping, the girls tragically lost their lives. Under this charge, the prosecution does not need to establish that Allen was the direct perpetrator of the killings. There's your key line right there. Under this charge, the prosecution does not need to establish that Allen was the direct perpetrator of the killings. I don't even know what the fuck that means.
No.
Other than it sounds like kind of shady, like you don't have to establish that he was the perpetrator, but you can charge. In contrast, the new murder charges explicitly accuse Allen of the act of killing the girls on February 13th, 2017, near the Deer Creek, a short distance from the bridge. The implications of these charges are substantial. If Allen is found guilty in all four counts of murder, he would face sentencing for only two of them as per legal provisions. Each murder charge carries a potential sentence of 45 to 65 years in prison. The kidnapping charges, if proven, could result in an additional 3 to 16 years of imprisonment. McLeland's request to the court to amend the charging information to include these new charges awaits a decision from the special judge, Fran Gull. So Gull gets to decide that one, too. In a related development, Allen's defense attorney came under the spotlight. The representation, this is what we talked about earlier, of them being reinstated. But yeah, so this filing, it's strategic. He stated in his legal pleadings that the amended charges align more closely with the evidence and the probable cause affidavit in the cause or in the case. Furthermore, he assured that these additional charges would not prejudice Allen's rights, because we've been so concerned with that so far, indicating that Allen and his legal team were previously aware of the potential for new charges. So, yeah, it's like they keep kind of changing where the goalposts are, because the is just as soon as he gets some sort of advantage in another way, like, I don't know, not even advantage, just rights of having his chosen representation be there for him as attorneys. Let's change the charges. Make it easier to convict you. I don't know. They don't want this guy talking.
Well, and if they keep treating him this way, they're going to get their wish, because he is deteriorating and declining daily.
And that's the thing. I mean, that's the weird part about this whole thing. So we're looking at this guy. How often do you see it where somebody goes into jail or prison? I guess maybe it happens somewhat, but in a case like this where you're waiting trial, I can't think of a lot of them where he's not old. I mean, he was in his 40s, I think. How often do you see someone deteriorate to this level just by going behind bars?
Well, and I imagine his age has a lot to do with it. You know, maybe he was heading toward that, but it would have happened at a slower pace.
I don't know.
He is not getting what he needs in prison as a human.
I feel like there's something else going on there. Like, let's try and let him die, or slowly let him die. And if that works faster than us trying to convict him, then so be it. And I think that they realize there's some issues with convicting him, and there's a lot of appellate issues here, and there's a lot of things he can say because they've done so much damage already that they're hoping that he kicks it in prison.
Oh man.
I don't know. It's messed up. This week, we'll have some interesting conversations with Bob Mata here on the podcast. So be sure to press subscribe. He was actually in court in the Indiana Supreme Court the other day when these arguments were being made, and he'll give us full reports all week long, on what he saw firsthand, and as a defense attorney, where he thinks this is going. Press subscribe so you don't miss it.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.